The phantom spread its dark robe before him for a moment like a wing, and withdrawing it, revealed a room in poor Bob Cratchit's house, where the mother and the children were seated round the fire. Quiet. Very quiet. The noisy little Cratchits were still as statues in one corner. Mrs. Cratchit put down her sewing and put her hand up to her face. "The color," she said, "hurts my eyes. And I wouldn't show weak eyes to your father when he comes home for the world. It must be near his time."
"Past it, rather," said Peter, shutting up his book. "But I think he has walked a little slower than he used to these last few evenings, mother."
I have known him walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder very fast indeed."
"Oh, so have I," said Peter, "often."
"So have I," exclaimed another, "so had all. But he was very light to carry, and his father loved him so that it was no trouble. No trouble. And there is your father at the door."
She hurried out to meet him, and little Bob in his comforter, he had need of it, poor fellow, came in. His tea was ready for him on the hob, and they all tried who should help him to it most. Then the two young Cratchits got upon his knees and laid each child's little cheek against his face, as if they said, "Don't mind it, father. Don't be grieved." Bob was very cheerful with them, and spoke pleasantly to all the family. And Mrs. Cratchit said, "You went today, then, Robert?"
"Oh, yes, my dear. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him that I would walk there every Sunday."
"My little child. My little, little child."
"Spectre," said Scrooge, "something informs me that our parting moment is at hand. Tell me what man that was whom we saw lying dead."
The ghost of Christmas yet to come conveyed him to a dismal, wretched, ruinous churchyard overrun by grass and weeds. The spirit stood among the graves and pointed down to one.
"Before I draw near to that stone to which you point, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of the things that will be, or are they shadows of things that may be only?"
Still the ghost pointed downward to the grave by which it stood.
"Men's courses will foreshadow certain ends, to which, if persevered in, they must lead. But if the courses be departed from, the ends will change. Say it as thus with what you show me."
The spirit was immovable as ever. Scrooge crept toward it, trembling as he went, and following the finger, read upon the stone of the neglected grave his own name, Ebenezer Scrooge.
"Am I that man who lay upon the bed?" he cried upon his knees. The finger pointed from the grave to him and back again. "No, spirit, no!"
"Spirit," he cried, tight clutching at its robe, "hear me. I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been but for this intercourse. Why show me this if I am past all hope? Assure me that I yet may change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Oh, tell me I may sponge away the writing on this stone."
Holding up his hands in a last prayer to have his fate reversed, he saw an alteration in the phantom's hood and dress. It shrunk, collapsed, and dwindled down into a bedpost.